What is it like if your number one fan is you? Think about that for a second. This is one of the songs on a new album from the band Muna. They met 6 years ago at the University of Southern California, and what they had in common was this deep feeling that they were different. So let me introduce you to the lead singer, Katie Gavin, and then her bandmates, Josette Maskin and Naomi McPherson.
I'm a big softie, and I identify as queer. And yeah, there was just a feeling of like, I don't really know what it is, but it's hard for me to fit into society in a way that seems like it might be easier for other people. And then, you know, as we became closer, it was kind of like, oh no, it's hard for a lot of people.
Josette?
I don't know. I was coming to terms with, like, my sexuality and also, like, my gender identity. Feeling different, I think, was just, like, a part of, I think, each of our experiences. And I think that was just something that, you know, it's the easiest way to say something that is so universal.
I think from my perspective, at least, it's, like, the fact that we have found each other and have such a rich friendship has made us feel substantially less alone and less different. And I think what the music does is attempts to reach through the screens and reach through the headphones of the people that are listening to say, like, maybe you're like us and maybe we're just like you and maybe we're all a lot more similar than we think.
These three musicians live in Los Angeles and they came in to talk at NPR West. And as Naomi, the producer-guitarist, was just talking about there, the band tries to reach fans who are searching for connection. They see it as their calling.
I think that we are hoping to become a band for a lot of people that makes them feel less alone and less sad and, like, understood. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Katie, you've talked about that this new album is the most personal thing you have ever been a part of and created. I don't even know where to start because you've talked about that it like involves family history, it involves addiction, it involves the challenges of our world today. Mm-hmm. Why did you want to dig into your own soul so much in this project?
I just want to do that. I've wanted to do that since I started writing songs, you know, when I was a kid. I think these questions show up inside of me and then they work themselves out in the songs. You're going to start to call friends. You're gonna start to call yourself an addict. I say on the record, like, I identify as an addict. And the way I see addiction is more of a mechanism than being addicted to any particular substance. So for me, mainly it's relationships. I really discuss on this record, like, patterns of behavior of, look, it takes me a long time to get over a relationship that in the first place wasn't even good for me. But the reason I don't care about talking about it is, one, I know I'm not alone, and two, I'm actually, like, working on these things in my real life, learning how to be accountable for myself, how to take care of myself, and I'm really excited about it, and I want to share how that feels for me, you know? It helps me. It's gonna be okay.
Josette, where do we hear you most on this album? What is the song where you feel like you have a real personal connection? We're learning about who you are.
Wow. Maybe never. Never love again. There's like one guitar part and it just feels like such a, I don't know, the only way sometimes I can think about like guitar parts and like emotion is just like yelling. And I feel like that's the part in that song, like when the guitar comes in, it's the way that I am yelling in response to Katie's lyrics.
Where's the yelling coming from?
I think it's like in support of Katie never being able to love again. You know what I mean? I think anything
me to love again.
I'm telling Katie she can never, I'm supporting it. I think like my job in relation to the lyrics is just like I'm there to make sure Katie's not alone.
When you said you never want her to love again, I know you laughed a little bit.
I never want her to do it.
Is it because of what she talked about that love has been painful and addictive at times and you are kind of protecting her?
To me, it's all same here, you know. Maybe it is just some sort of like assurance that like I have felt that way too. And I'm sure so many other people have as well. And I mean, like, that's the reason, like, when I met Katie, she just can say things that I felt or that just ring true to my soul.
I've never asked anyone this, but I kind of want to ask. When I'm doing my job in like a studio, I imagine like a parent and kid like at the breakfast table somewhere in Ohio or in Kansas or California listening. It's like I want that connection to someone out there. Do you do that? And like, who is the person who you imagine listening to your music?
Joe.
I think about growing up and feeling that kind of just like ache and not having anyone to, you know, turn to. Oh, that made me feel sad.
When we play these songs for the first time, I'm sure it'll be permanently ingrained in my memory, like specific moments of looking out into the crowd and seeing someone having an emotional experience. Like, I have a very vivid memory of playing I Know a Place in Boston. They would try to make you unhappy. Don't let them. They would try to tell you. There was a Muslim girl at the very front with a hijab on, and she was just weeping. And I thought that was the coolest thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, now we're all crying, so.
That was Katie Gavin, Josette Maskin, and Naomi McPherson, the band Muna. Their new album, Saves the World, is out this Friday.